how she loved them through her hands. She looped needles through fabric. She knitted, tailored, measured, cut, stitched, weaved, and sewed materials. Wool, linen, the fine fibers that she spun into coats and gowns, the shirts and dresses that she embroidered and decorated with a designer's hand, a seamstress who performed daily resurrection miracles by tailoring new possibilities into something well-worn, into someone well-worn. Oh, how she loved them with her hands. We can hear it when the stories begin to get passed around in the community. We can hear how she loved them. Someone holds up a blanket and tells a story behind it. Tabitha, she made this for me when I got cancer. And on those cold, chilly days during the chemo treatments, I would wear this over my lap and it warmed me up. We hear it when one woman, she holds up a blanket and says, I had no money when my child was born for anything, but Tabitha made me this baby blanket, and my kiddo grew up with it covering her. We hear the stories when a child, an orphan, holds up the dress and says, Tabitha made this for us. Whenever a new person came into the community, she would make the dress. And you know what? She taught us all how to make the same thing as well for others. She covered them. She protected them. She loved them through her hands. Maybe you remember someone like that. A Tabitha in your life? Someone who covered you with God's grace? Maybe our Tabitha was someone who inspired us, whose example of how she lived her life, it boosted our imaginations for what was possible for our life. One of our pastoral interns here over the years, she was a Baptist. And one of the stories that she tells is when she walked into the Baptist church and for the first time she heard a woman preach. She said, it opened up this new world that inspired me and showed me what was possible in a society that said, women can't be preachers. Maybe our Tabitha was our own parents or grandmother who we'd have these holy conversations with on the way home from church, talking about the mysteries of God and trying to figure out how we live our faith together. Or maybe our Tabitha was a Sunday school teacher who not only poured into us these stories, but poured into us this belief that she believed in us. Do you remember someone like that in your life? Who held you? Who covered you? Of course, the sad part is our Tabithas, one day they die. The thread that once stitched our world together comes undone. And we ask, now what do we do? It's the question the church asks, isn't it? When someone who we've depended on for all these years, when they're no longer with us, we ask, now what do we do? While I was working at a homeless shelter, there was a woman there named Bonnie. She was a Tabitha to a bunch of homeless men. Bonnie was childless, and she poured her love out to these homeless people. All the regulars at the shelter, they called her Mama Bonnie. And one night, there was a fight that broke out between these two men, and they started to speak in escalated tones, and before you knew it, there was a crowd of other men circling, as seems to happen whenever two people start to get into the fight. They just watch, and they start shoving each other. And you know who broke through, who ripped through the circle and stood between them? Mama Bonnie. She's this frail old little lady who's about 90 pounds wet, if you could imagine, between these two towering men. She says, now boys, you know better than to handle your issues this way. And these two men, they both started to blush. And they looked down and said, we're sorry, Mama Bonnie. In that sad day when she died, the church was full of salty-eyed homeless men who looked at her like a mother because she cared and nurtured for them when nobody else would. She was their Tabitha. She glued the community together, and once she was gone, they said, what do we do now? So do you remember what the women do in the story? Who do they call on? I'm sorry? They call on Peter. And now before we make Peter the hero, we need to know that Peter plays a minor role for once in this story. This story is about Tabitha and her community of women. Peter comes and shows up, and he is so moved by the stories and the witness of these women that he gets on his knees and he prays to God and he turns to the body and he says, get up, and then the miracle happens. God raises her from the dead. This is profound. You know why? Think about it. On Easter Sunday, who do we celebrate that God raises from the dead? Yes, you all can shout that one out. It's the Sunday school answer. And we say, he is risen, right? On Easter? But here, what do we say? She is risen. It's the only time in the entire New Testament where a female has the label disciple. It's right there in the Greek, the feminine form of the word disciple. And Tabitha is the only disciple and the first person that God raises from the dead. That is significant. In Luke's gospel, women are central to witnessing the story. They're central to the life of the church. Who is it who begins God's revolution? In Luke's gospel, Bible study quiz. It starts with Mary and Elizabeth. God's revolution birthed through their bodies. Who is it who sticks around while Jesus is hanging on the cross? Not us men, the women. And who is it who dares to go to the tomb and when it's empty, dares to run back and preach the first sermon on Easter? The women. Where would we be? There'd be no church. Amen. You know, lately we hear a lot about how the church is dying. And I think in some cases this is true. But I don't really see it that the church is dying. What I see is the patriarchal church that's dying. And it's about time. Now, I'm not tossing shade onto our men. But I see a church that's being risen up through the hands of our women. If you need any evidence, Exhibit A. Our choir and Jonathan. Now, I'm sure they would love to have a man or two or three or four help them join their voices, yes. But the truth is, they don't need us. When I sit in committees on committee night, other than the building and grounds committee, I am almost every time in the entire company of women. We have 10 ordained ministers in this congregation. 10. Other than John Sr. and I, all women. Now, we hear that the church is dying. No. God is raising up, birthing something new through our female disciples. It's the first and only time Tabitha, a disciple, gets raised from the dead. There's an ancient Chinese proverb. It says, when sleeping women wake, Mountains move. I see women waking who are boldly speaking truth to institutional powers, including in the church, that have said enough of what has bred toxic masculinity. I see waking women who are birthing movements for justice like Black Lives Matter and Me Too, and locally, women of action. I see women who are waking, who are through their hands offering these spirit-saturated, infused gifts that are being knit into our lives. Perhaps Luke sees it too. And that's why Tabitha is the only named disciple who's raised from the dead. Because women and your witness is central to the story of the church. Always has been. So, you all are Tabitha people, leaders, who weave our lives together, just like that intergenerational quilt, through the gifts of your hands. Today, we lift you up, and we give thanks to God for your witness. Because the proverb is true. When sleeping women wake, mountains move.